Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now. Von Miller just stepped up to the podium. Let's eavesdrop for a minute. Von?
Bueller.
All right.
He didn't want to appear on our show anyway.
Did he hang
up on us again? He hung up on us.
I think it's back now. Let's check out Von here for a moment.
He's a pretty good tackle as well. He was one of the best tackles in his draft. You know, I think he was picked fourth overall. And, you know, we definitely got our work cut out for us. And, you know, it'd be great to go out there and play, you know, right after the 20th anniversary for 9/11, you know, the next day. So that stadium would be rocking. MetLife would be going crazy. And, you know, the Giants fans, you know, they're salivating for a winning season. And, you know, it's going to be a great place to play. It's going to be a great test for us. And we just got to go out there and play to the best of our ability and, you know, see what happens.
You said the Giants fans are salivating for a winning season. So are Broncos fans. So are you guys. How much are you keying in on starting September with a win?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot said about September. I think with the type of team that we have and, you know, the type of players that we have, it'll kind of take care of itself. You know, we got let alone the players. We got four head coaches on our team with Coach Mockins, Coach Fangio, Coach Munchak, and Coach Schumer. So then we got all type of offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators as well. Coach Z will be a, you know, offensive coordinator one day, and Coach Pags was a defensive coordinator. So we got all type of knowledge on this team. We got all type of wisdom and experience on this team. And, you know, when you get into these players and, you know, the type of guys that we have, you know, Pat Surtain and the other draft picks and, you know, our offensive line, this is the best offensive line that I've been able to play with throughout my whole entire career, from tackle to tackle, guard to guard. You know, Dalton Risner and, you know, Cush and, you know, Graham Glasgow and Garrett Bowles and Bobby Massey. They have a hell of a unit there. And, you know, it's going to be a tough one for us. We got a great team as well, though. So I'm excited to go out there and play. And I think the type of team that we have and the type of coach that we have, it'll take care of September. You know, it's just been a coincidence that we haven't been able to win in September the last 2 years. But, you know, this is a different team. You know, it's a different mindset. It's just a different feel. And you guys have been out here. You guys have seen it. And, you know, you guys have been here just as long as I have. You know, it's just a different team. It's just a different feel. I feel like George Payton really has his hand on each and every pick that he has, and each and every player. They all have a purpose. And, you know, I'm excited to see what we're doing in real live action.
Any prediction for CU and A&M on Saturday? Any analysis for me?
Yeah. I mean, we got to go out there and kill those guys. So we got to go out there and kill them. You know, I'm not on the Aggies no more. So I gotta say it for them. We got to go out there and kill them. We're SEC school. Right, number six. You know, we got high expectations for our season, and, you know, we're going against the bus. I'm a fan of the bus, but we're going against the Aggies this weekend. We just got to go out there and kill them from start to finish. You know, Jimbo has done a great job getting his guys in there recruiting, and, you know, I think this is the year for us, and we gotta continue to. We struggled with Kent State, you know, last week, and, you know, it was the first game of the season. It's always like that in college. You see all these big-time schools, you know, struggle with teams they shouldn't struggle with the first week of the season. We got to get those bugs ironed out, and, you know, we got to go out there and kill CU this weekend.
You waited in the preseason to get back on grass to play. All systems go for playing on turf?
Yeah, 100%. I can't you know, I can't sit this one out. But you know, it's just a couple of games that you know, this season that I have to play on turf. I think it's like three or four games, and, you know, I just got to be able to tough it out. You know, I really don't want to get just, you know, in my head about it. You know, I don't really want to make it more, you know, mental than what it is. Whenever I play on turf, I just play on turf, and, you know, I stay prayed up, and,
you know, can just continue to play my game and not really think about it. But I think we got three or four games that I have to play on turf, and I just got to do it.
You talked about the O-line being the best that you've played with. So how has that O-line made you guys in the front seven better working every day against them over the last
year? Yeah, we got some great sparring partners, for sure. I mean, I think you've seen the type of, heated practices that we have between, you know, Bowles and Chubb and, you know, all the other guys. And it's all great work for us. You know, I got a hell of a sparring partner with Bobby Massey. And the inside guys as well. Dalton Rosner is starting to come into his own as well. Graham Glasgow has been, you know, a great player in the league for a while now. And Kush, you know, I ask him every day, is it easy yet? You know, is it easy yet? You know, and, you know, it takes a little bit, but as soon as he starts to, you know, make it easy, then, you know, offensive line will go with him as well. So, you know, it's been great to have this type of competition in practice because, you know, we'll see some great offensive lines, but we got one here in practice as well.
You talked about how hyped up the New York stadium's going to be. And we talk about home field advantage. But do you really enjoy going into a stadium where I recall you having great games in New England? Do you like that?
I love it. I mean, I love traveling. You know, I try to, you know, we have a different, you know, environment here in Denver with the altitude and everything. So, no, I love going to other places and play for, you know, that's one of the biggest reasons. You can breathe a whole lot better. You know, you can run a whole lot faster. You know, your conditioning, you know, really shows up whenever you leave. So I'm excited to go play in other stadiums. And, you know, I'm a fan of the NFL. You know, I love great stadiums like MetLife. You know, I love great stadiums like the Chiefs, you know, and the Kingdom. I love going there and playing against those fans. And, you know, it's going to be a tough one, but, you know, I'm a fan of football, and it'll be an exciting day for us.
Long before he got here, but is there anything that since he's joined this team that you kind of learned about him that you maybe didn't know?
No, not really. You know, not really. You know, we have so many mutual friends, and, you know, me being a fan of football, you know, I kind of already knew who Teddy was. I spent a lot of time in Miami and South Florida, so, you know, I already knew about, you know, Teddy and the type of leader that he was and the type of guy that he was off the field. And it's just been a joy to have him on our team. You know, he's a great leader. He's one of the guys, you know, and all the great quarterbacks, they kind of have, like, that aura about them. You know, Drew has their aura about him as well. And, it's just great to, you know, have Teddy in the building, and, you know, he just had a son. He just had a son 6 months ago, so we talk baby talk a lot, you know, and this is one of my guys. You know, we got so many things in common, and, you know, it's good to have him on our team. You know, it was a great pick.
Vaughn, after a few more minutes,
Vaughn, how close are you to where you were before you got hurt last year?
I think it's a different Vaughn. You know, I think it's a different Vaughn. I think the way I attacked it was some good and bad that came with it. I kind of just, last year, I just kind of, like, you know, put the pedal to the metal and just grind it, and I just used all the, you know, all the, I just used so many different things for fuel last year, and I don't think it was healthy, you know, for me. I just grinded. I had 2 days. I had 3 days. You know, I really just, you know, hit the weight room. If I wasn't on the weight room, I was on the track, and I would go do football drills. And I kind of just, I wouldn't say I wore myself down into the ground, but I kind of, you know, put a lot of wear and tear on my body. And whenever it was time to go for the season, you know, I had a freak season-ending injury. So, you know, I just took some of the positive things that I had from last season, like my work ethic and my mindset, and I just applied it to this year. And I took, you know, a step back from just grinding so hard, and I put more emphasis on, you know, rehab and, you know, working on the little muscles and just really just going back to the drawing board and keeping some of the good stuff that I did last season and just adding some stuff that, you know, to really sustain my, you know, football career. So I just kind of mixed up, you know, these two seasons. And, you know, it's a totally different one. I feel like my conditioning is about the same. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm the same size. I feel like, you know, my muscles and everything. You see my picture with my shirt off. You know, I feel like, you know, it's the same, you know, looking Vaughn. And I just think it's just a different mindset. And you have to be able to do that each and every year. You just can't, you know, kind of piggyback off the year before. You got to go to the drawing board and really just redo it every single year. That's what all the greats do. They continue to work. And, you know, that's what I did coming into my 11th season.
Mr. Massey being a strong partner, what gives you faith that he's going to bring stability to that right tackle spot?
Yeah, he's been a great tackle in this league. He's been an anchor on every single offensive line that he's been on. And, you know, he's a big body. You know, he can move guys. He's got a lot of, you know, veteran you know, leadership. I think this is year 9 or 10 for Bobby. So he's been around. He's seen a lot of guys. He's winning against, you know, Khalil for 2 seasons and winning against me for a season. And, you know, he's played all type of guys and around the National Football League, and he's held his own. You know, he's been able to, you know, hold off some of the best, you know, rushers in the league. And, you know, he's had success against these guys. And, you know, I think that's why we had him on our team. And that's why I feel like, you know, he'll continue to have that same success, you know, going on this season.
Ron, how do you prepare for a guy like Barkley when you're unable to maybe tackle a whole lot in practice and those sorts of things, especially for you having to set the edge?
I mean, Barkley, you got to go back and watch some of his – you got to just really go back and watch his highlight tape, and that could be – you know, that could really kill some confidence because you see some of the stuff he does before he got hurt, and, you know, it was just amazing. You know, he has this crazy jump cut, and he can jump off 1 foot back into his run. He has incredible balance. You know, he's 230 pounds, but he's fast. He runs like a 4.3. He creates separation from DBs. You know, any little space, he's taking it. You know, it's definitely a tough challenge. He's big, he's strong, he can run you over, he can jump around you, he can spin, he can jump over the top of you, you know, he can stiff arm. You know, you just got to corral him. You know, it takes 1 or 2 guys to take him down, 3 or 4 guys. You know, we got to have all 11 on the ball, and I know defensive coaches say this around the league, but, you know, it's definitely true. We got to have all 11 guys on the ball whenever he gets it.
All right, thank you,
guys. Appreciate it.
All right, there was Von Miller speaking to the media live from UC Health Training Center.
You think Von will join us this year? Maybe like, you know, for 10 minutes or so?
I am not counting on it. I am not counting on it.
He sounds in a lot better mood nowadays than we had him last year. So, no, I like his energy. You can tell he's excited.
For sure.
And a lot different than where he was last year, obviously, with that injury and... you know, back at it again. So, you know, I mean, Vaughn's Vaughn. I mean, he's pumping up his teammates, pumping up the other teammates. Mm-hmm. So
no one goes third person more than Vaughn.
No, he does. I mean, does that a lot.
It's, I don't even have to reset him. Sometimes I have to come on here and say, this is Von Miller.
Right.
At the point. No, he resets himself. That's brilliant. How you doing today,
makes
man?
Makes our job easy.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, doing great, man. Busy morning, kicking off the Orange and Blue show, doing that weekly segment again. Had our meeting here with our
annual, like, preseason meeting.
Yeah, had that. So I jumped on to that. I was happy not to see you on there because, you know, the 5-6 questions that you ask at the end of it always makes it drag on a lot longer than what it should be.
No, that's D-Mac's job.
Don't worry. Slareth and Evans took care of that for you today. I mean, goodness gracious.
They dragged that thing out?
Oh, my. I'm trying to get ready to come to the show, right? The meeting's at 10:30. I'm trying to get ready, and, you know, these guys are just, I'm like, next thing you know, I'm getting in my car with the dang thing on, and... I mean, like, Evans and Slayer, it's just like, come on, guys. Stop being, you know, the teacher's pet. We got it. Seriously.
Wait, was D-Mac in the meeting?
D-Mac was in the meeting.
Okay.
He was there. I heard one or two from him.
Okay.
And that was really it. It mostly came from the morning show guys. Okay. So
over, under, was the meeting over, under 59 and a half minutes?
Under.
Okay, great.
Yeah, under.
Great.
Under. So, got that done with. I'm going to a football game tonight.
Look at you.
Two of my buddies are coaching.
Yeah.
Horizon, Arvada West.
Okay.
Right? Brad Pyatt over there at Arvada West, former teammate of mine and with the Colts, and my buddy Rob Weta kicking off his season.
What's up, Rob?
At Horizon. So, high school football game tonight. Like, come on, man. I mean, I'm excited about that. And look, I mean, football's here. NFL's right around the corner. You know, I love it.
NFL football tonight, man.
Yeah, it's here.
It's here.
It's here.
It's here. Like,
I'm not going to be able to partake in that game, unfortunately, because I'm going to, you know, the high school game tonight. But I'll be following it on my phone.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but, you know, friends come first.
Friends come first.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't wait. I'll be glued to this one. Dallas Cowboys, been watching Hard Knocks and getting.
I got the one more episode, this week's episode, to catch up on.
Same. Against the reigning Super Bowl champs. I mean, I just, you know.
With everybody returning, you know, Dak's back.
For the first time ever. All 22 starters, both sides of the ball. And
no coordinators missing. Typically, these coordinators that win Super Bowls, they get head coaching opportunities. Like, everyone is coming back, carbon copy. And they got guys that were hurt a year ago that are now healthy. Mm. So, I mean, who knows what the Bucs are going to look like? I mean, it has been nearly two decades since a team repeated. You got to go back to 03, 04 New England Patriots when Tom Brady was the quarterback then.
I got my money on them this year again.
Yeah.
I mean, just for what you said. And, you know, Brady's coming off of, you know, he dealt with a little knee injury last year that he was dealing with that's fixed and cleaned up. And, you know, from all indications, and I did chat with him a little bit at the Hall of Fame deal, you know, he's feeling great. So, and obviously he stays in great shape. I don't think there's going to be a drop off this year from him. They got so many weapons around him, offensive line being good, and a great defense over there also. So I'm really high on the Bucs this year. You're exactly right. I mean, I think they're just going to have a great regular season. I mean, last year you look at all the things that they had to overcome, you know, with Brady and new offense and all these things, and the way they finished the season off. So it's going to be a fun one to watch. Dak's back. Right?
That's
back.
Yeah.
See what he looks like, because he didn't play in a preseason game.
Right.
Had the shoulder issue.
Right.
So it's going to be a fun one.
Like, we all know Tom Brady's age, right? He just turned 44. That's 44. Stokely, you and Brady were born within a year of one another. You said you can't go out in the backyard and have a competent, catch.
Well, let me say that.
Competent
catch.
I mean,
you're not supposed to say that. I can say that.
This guy's the reigning Super Bowl MVP. Like, I just, like, Stoke, think about this statement, okay? And I tweeted this yesterday. Tom Brady, since he's came into the league, has seen 5 United States presidents. And two of them got reelected.
Wow.
I mean, what are we talking about? This is the longest prime in the history of sports. He's the reigning Super Bowl MVP, the 40 touchdowns a year ago. Like, he was born in 1977. In 1977, Elvis Presley was still doing live shows. Tom Brady's going to throw touchdowns tonight in the NFL. Like,
it's remarkable. I mean, it's remarkable. It really is. It's. I don't know. What can you say? It's guys still playing at a high level. They got a great team. But the NFL season's here. Broncos are right around the corner, Zach. I can't wait to watch that first game. Just get to kind of sit down on the couch and just enjoy a Sunday of football. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait. So you're just hunkering down in the basement with the boys, going to get the donuts, kind of doing what you guys do.
Yep. But,
yeah. Okay.
That's the plan for Sunday. I can't wait. This is your first like NFL Sunday in your house.
Yes. And I'm not going to be there. I'm going to go up to Blackhawk. I'm going to go up to Blackhawk Lodge Casino up there, Superbook. I'm just going to freaking fire at everything on the board.
Bang. Oh, wow. So you're going to Blackhawk?
Yes. I've never been. Me and a couple
I've been only
people.
Once.
How was it?
I've been once. It was cool. Played some, you know, poker or whatever and played some cards and just hung out for a few hours. Didn't stay the night and then drove back. But, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. I'd like to go up there and just spend a night, night. And
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Saturday.
Nice.
You know, fire at all the Saturday night games, go out to dinner, wake up. I just can't wait. I'm so glad it's here. And the fact that the fans are back brings a different kind of energy.
It like, really does.
What is Mile High going to be like week 3? Like, are you kidding me?
Broncos coming in 2-0.
Oh, it's very realistic. You got to get past Sunday. I believe you and I both believe they're going to beat Jacksonville. You come back to Mile High at 2-0 for the first time in, I don't know how long it's been, 600 days or whatever it's been since fans were. It's goosebumps.
Well, they were there
stuff.
Last year, right?
Oh, but, yeah, but.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it got.
That's not the real, right. like.
Started off, you know, like 5,000
and then
whatever, and then it was, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Right. You get to 73,000 or whatever it holds, and that place is rocking. So hopefully they get off to a fast start and get people excited.
Yeah. or regardless. I mean, they could be 0-2 and that place is going to come undone. I mean, they won't be. We know that they won't be. Pretty wild, man.
You know they won't
wild.
Be? You know that?
I know that they will not be.
I'm optimistic, but I'm not, you know.
Is the worm turning within 24 hours with
you? No. I'm very optimistic on this team. But this first game isn't a gimme, Zach.
No, I know. I understand.
Right? And then where's the next game at? It's another East Coast game, travel,
it
Jacksonville.
Is. It is.
You know, hot, humid. I played down there in this time of year. Hot and humid. And so it's a different type of feeling. And, you know, you're traveling all the way over there to the East Coast, early start. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Look, if the Broncos, you're favored in both games, Stoke.
Yes.
Right? You're supposed to win both games. If with this roster, in this defense, with a veteran quarterback, all the offensive weapons that they have, the coaching staff with the continuity returning year over year. I mean, if you go 0-2,
it's disappointing. I'm not predicting it.
It sounds like it.
But
you're down on the Broncos.
I picked them to go 10-7, brother. So I'm up on the
Broncos.
I heard
a rumor on the King Supers fan football pick 'em. You picked the Giants to beat the Broncos.
Well, that's because, you know, Richie wouldn't stop hassling me and you a couple weeks ago whenever to get signed up for the darn thing. So I got signed up, and I didn't want to not do my picks, you know, miss. So I just went down and did them real quick. It's been changed. I got the Broncos on there. So, you know, sometimes you just got to get them in, right, and get signed up, get logged in, and it's like, okay, I'll just do it. But certainly, you know, I got the Broncos going 10-7. I'm not expecting them to start 0-2. But let's not just take anything for granted here. In
no,
Broncos
for sure.
Land.
You're right.
The one thing I'm just like, hey, it's the NFL.
Right?
It's the NFL, and these first two games are on the road. And we are the Denver Broncos that won 5 games last year.
Right.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves here, Zach. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no chance that we start 0-2. And I'm like, huh.
Listen to me. There's no chance the Broncos start 0-2.
You getting that neck tat? Huh? You getting that butterfly on the back, lower back? What are you doing?
Get that Kenya Martin pair of lips on my neck?
Yeah. What are we getting then? Back it up.
There's a chance that they could start over.
There you go. Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay.
That's what I thought right
okay.
there.
Okay.
Slow your roll,
All right.
Zachary David.
All right.
Slow your roll on that. Now, we're not predicting it.
Of
we
course
don't
not.
Think odds are very low, but man. You know, somebody's got to win the Powerball. I mean, look, it can happen. And we're talking about the stinking Denver Broncos, okay? So let's not just go out there like we're the Kansas City Chiefs
mm-hmm.
right now.
Right.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
So
you're right. And Von said that the 0-7 of September, it's just a coincidence. It's a coincidence. 0-7.
Yeah, we can't forget that, the slow starts. But I'm feeling good about this weekend. I am saying all that. I do feel good about this weekend and
Me too.
What the Broncos are going to do. And I can't wait to watch it, man. I know Broncos country's fired up to just watch some, you know, new year. Kind of all those last 4 years we've been talking about, we can just throw that away now. And it's only this year.
Right.
Like, it's this football team this year. That's all that matters. You know, let's stop these losing streaks. 4 in a row. Let's stop it. This is the year. And the fact that I'm very optimistic, that makes me even more excited about it.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't deliver, it'll hurt. Like, you know,
all trust will be lost.
Right. Just like I don't trust Drew Locke anymore and whatever he says. You know, he broke that. I won't be like this again. You know, they humbled Nick when he first got here.
Mm.
Nick's like 12-4 or whatever. Like, ooh, no, Nick, don't do it. And, you know, they put up like 5 or 6 wins.
Right.
You know, that's what it'll do to me.
Yeah.
That's what it will do to me. But I'm feeling great. I'm optimistic. I'm excited about talking about winning football more than losing football.
Right.
Like
right.
production.
Right.
Big plays.
That'd be great, man. We've come in here all too often.
Great running game.
Weeks after these Broncos
Jerry
lost.
Judy's yeah. just tearing it up. Cortland Sutton's back. Look at Noah Fant in his third year.
Look at Noah.
Go, Noah, go. I see you, Noah. Kareem Jackson just lighting folks up.
Mm.
Huh? Von Miller sacking the quarterback. Sack fumble.
Mm. You're talking me into it. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I was on the air in New York this morning. They're looking at
For what?
They're looking at the Broncos.
Why would they want you on there?
They're looking at the Broncos as like the most attainable win to start the season.
Did you call in a favor or something?
No.
Hey, guys, I'm free.
No.
Please, put me on.
I'm telling you.
So wait, what?
I'm telling you, they are looking at the Broncos.
Right.
Like, this is a perfect start. We're at home against the 5-11 Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, right. Let's start our season off 1-0.
Exactly. Yep. And that both hosts I was on with, like, hey, this is, it feels like the Giants can get a nice start to their season. And I picked the Broncos. I picked the Broncos to win and cover. So we'll see how it all shakes out.
Well.
See how it all shakes
guess
out.
Guess who's here? Guess who's here? Teddy. Guess who's in town, baby?
Teddy Covers!
Yes, let's go.
We started that last year before we ever knew he was coming.
That's right.
He's got one of the best against the spread numbers that you. It's like since Teddy Bridgewater's come in the league, man. You put a spread in front of him, he'll cover it.
And now he's with us.
And now he's
He's with us.
Yes. Yes.
And we all benefit.
The cover in Broncos.
Oh, yes.
I love it. All right. When it comes to quarterback debate, the most unstoppable force versus the immovable object were clashing again last night. These guys are hilarious. We'll fill you in on the details next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Man, if that doesn't fire you up...
Ooh.
Check your pulse.
Love Queen. Just remember them rocking, like, what was that, Wembley Stadium? Saw the movie. Oh, goodness. Remember that? Could you imagine? Ow.
Oh, man.
Rising up. On the street.
Oh, God.
Did my time, took my chances.
Freddie.
At the distance,
that guy was talented. You see that movie? Did you see the movie? Where did you see the movie?
I saw the movie.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Great movie.
You trade your
passion. When it comes to quarterback debate, the unstoppable force and the immovable object were clashing again last night. Man, these guys are so funny, man. And I don't know why I'm still entertained by it after, it's been years now. Darren McKee and Mike Evans.
Oh.
Oh, man.
They're playing footsie again? What are they doing?
D-Mac.
And Patty Cake? What are these guys doing?
I swear it was, literally 6 days ago, D-Mac was on the air saying, I'm done. Like, I'll retire the quarterback stuff. I'll retire it. And these guys going at each other's throat again. And, of course,
I love it.
It's a never-ending battle between these two. And you can hear the tone and the voice. You know, I said this to you a while ago. I like being close enough to the fire where I feel the heat, but I'm not the one in the fire. Right? Hearing these two guys go back and forth. D-Mac just going nuts last night on Twitter. 6 days after his renewed promise to stop this stuff. He said... or this might have been earlier in the day, said, getting back from a workout today, and I hear Mark Schlereth's plan is Deshaun Watson if Rodgers doesn't work out. Then, if you like a guy, move up like the Chiefs did for Mahomes, which of course is the same as the Bears moving up for Trubisky. Again, his plan is if you believe in a quarterback, you should move up to go get him. Gee, where have I heard that? Oh, and then Island Girl. This is what he's calling Stink now. Island Girl.
Wait, what? Where did this come from? How did this happen? Wait, Island Girl?
So Stink says he lives on I Told You So Island.
Oh.
He gets everything right.
Oh, yeah. Just like he told you got Aaron Rodgers right?
Oh.
Remember that?
Just like that? Day 21. The Mark Schlereth smear campaign continues, just burrowing right down the track.
I mean, we wouldn't be talking about it right now. They wouldn't be going back and forth about the quarterback.
If you think the Broncos' record is going to be 10-7 with Teddy Bridgewater, what would your prediction be if Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback?
It's a good question. 13?
13-4?
Yeah. It did come up on our meeting today that we had. Schlereth was on it. It did come up, the smear campaign.
It did it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Came up in the company meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
Wait, did he get smeared in the meeting?
No. Oh, he's okay. The one that actually brought it up.
Oh.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny.
Mark is very good sport.
Yes, he is.
Very good sport.
Yes, he is.
D-Mac goes on. Oh, so Schlereth says, I live on I Told You So Island.
Okay.
You know, just constantly telling you how right he is.
Right.
And so D-Mac started calling him Island Girl.
Wow.
He said, oh, and then Island Girl says I would choose anyone. No. That would be Mike's strategy because the quarterback position's overrated. This is all while saying, finally, taking Chubb over Allen was a mistake. And then he goes on. I mean, D-Mac went on and on.
I mean, we all know that taking Chubb over Allen now was a mistake. I mean, we all realize
it's
that.
It's unequivocal. Like,
it's like, you know.
Okay. And the fact that, the Bills are like the trendy pick. I just heard Nate Jackson pick them to win the Super Bowl right before our show. And I think that it's until the Broncos figure out a long-term resolution at the position, this conversation, the one that D-Mac is having last night on Twitter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So what was he ultimately six what was he tweets. Ultimately saying to these guys that they're finally thinking?
Yeah, it's because it sounds like, and this is just, it sounds like that Mike and Mark are here over time, kind of been put in a corner. The Broncos have kind of been doing what they've been advocating for years now, like build the roster, put a veteran quarterback. Well, that's what the Broncos have been trying to do for many years now.
That plan hasn't worked.
It hasn't. And I think it's getting to a point where they're kind of looking at it with a renewed lens. Like, when is the best time to draft a quarterback? Like, when is it? When is it?
When you find the right one. Right? I mean, that's really it. You know, this year would have been a great time to do it. I would have been all for it. I mean, if you wanted to try to move up, you could have moved up. We saw the 49ers do it. You know, if you wanted to stay put and take the next best available one, you had two right there. One of them starting week one. The other one, you know, I mean, he's going to be the next, I don't know, Hall of Famer, according to everybody out there in Chicago. I don't know if he had an incompletion all training camp.
Both of those guys are getting rave reviews. I mean, we heard the story come out within the last week that it was Mac Jones who was teaching Cam the playbook. Did you see that story?
I did. Okay. I did.
Doesn't sound like you're putting stock into it.
I don't know. I mean, come on. Maybe Cam asked him a question about something. I mean, I don't think Mac Jones is sitting there. I mean, Cam Newton was there last year, right? I mean, I have a hard time buying that on the surface. Like, you know, Mac Jones is sitting there, like, you know, taking Cam Newton through the plays and teaching him and helping him out, like, day in and day out. You know, I mean, that's kind of the headline, and that splashy headline. That's what it makes you think. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's a false report, but I'm putting, you know, little stock into it.
Sure.
Is where I'm at. Cam.
The forgotten Cam.
That's right. He's going to be making a statement on Friday, by the way. Too.
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Apparently, Cam Newton, if you didn't see this, folks, put it out there on Instagram. Was it yesterday? Put it out there yesterday. Like, I got some stuff to get off my chest, and I'm good. And he teased it.
Right.
He said, Friday, I will go on Instagram Live and say what I need to say.
And it's not a retirement speech.
Not a retirement speech.
That's what he said also. But look, when's the right time to draft it is when you highlight one and you evaluate him and he's there for you. They had two there this year. Didn't take either one. So, you know, once again, we'll see how it turns out. But obviously, You know, if you passed on one right now, I mean, it's a big mistake. But you got to go for it at some point. You know, maybe you go in the offseason, fingers crossed, so you get one of these other veteran guys. But
I firmly believe that if this was George Payton's second year, he would have drafted one of those quarterbacks. I believe that he was never going to draft one of these guys. Even if it was Trey Lance that they liked, and he went early. No, I think if Trey Lance fell,
right?
No, wasn't going to draft Trey Lance.
Then it would have been like, oh, it was Mac Jones that they liked,
right.
He went too early for him.
I do not believe that George Payton in his first year was ever going to do it, and I believe that decision could age as poorly as the 2018 draft.
Wow.
Because the Denver Broncos were set up as the prototype year to draft a quarterback. Your roster's good enough where none of the rookies that you drafted are going to start. You're picking in the top 10. You never plan to do that again. It literally set up for the Broncos. But I think the timing and the disconnect of the organization from the president of football to the new GM on a six-year deal to the head coach on the hot seat, none of it matched up.
And I hear you. But I'm just like, this is your first year. That's the time to do it. You know, your roster's good. I got your point of view, but my point of view was, like, you know, be aggressive your first year because you have time to make up for it.
Right.
And then if you hit, guess what? And your team doesn't do well this year. Well, the quarterback took the lumps. So did Vic. Now you fire Vic, and you bring your coach in that you want. He's got a nice, young, shiny toy, just like they did in L.A. with the Chargers.
And
right?
Stole-
and so for me, that's why it's like this was the year to do it, and he didn't do it. So that tells me that he didn't like one, but you think but don't you think if he liked one, he would have taken one?
I still ask the question, how long of a shadow did John Elway cast?
Sure.
The guy he just took who didn't get a fair opportunity. And George said that a couple weeks ago. We want to give Drew, you know, a fair shake to try to prove that he can be a franchise quarterback. That it was Drew Lock still an element of that pie of the decision to not do it because John is sitting right next to you. And at one point, 2 years ago, John believed that this guy could be the future. I don't know. I think I don't know the answer, but I think it's a question that's worth asking.
John Elway's shadow is better than you.
Oh, Colin. Uncle Colin.
Mm. I'm not into Drew Lock.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was after being all over him before the season.
Yeah, he said the Broncos were going to be the pop team. They were the dark horse that every year.
Go back to the bench.
That every year there's a pop guy, you know, and that was his guy. He switched up on him real quick. All right. What type of year should we expect from Noah Fant in year number three? I right now am holding in my hands his total receiving yards on the season. Play a little over under coming up next.
Win more games, Cub Scout.
Wow.
Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
What should we expect from Noah Fant in year number three?
You got the odds?
I got them.
Okay, I haven't seen them.
Okay.
Gonna do some guessing here. Okay, where are we starting?
Oh, I just have the yards.
You just have yards. Okay, you have the yards. Over under on the yards.
Over
okay.
under on the yards. Let's go. Let's briefly go over what he's done so far.
Man, that was my next question.
Okay.
How about that? Look at us.
Synced up.
Yep.
Year number one, Noah was playing with Joe Flacco, Brandon It Factor Allen, and Drew Lock. He played all 16 games. 40 receptions, 562 yards, 3 touchdowns. Year number two, missed one game. His receptions jumped from 40 to 62. So 22 more receptions year over year.
Big jump.
Big jump. And missed a game. So one less game, 22 more receptions. His yards go from 562 in year one to 673 in year two. So you're talking over 100 more receiving yards as well. His touchdowns remained flat. 3 touchdowns his first year, 3 touchdowns his second year. In terms of yardage, though, and they put this up on the screen on the last preseason game.
I got a question.
Go ahead.
So he missed a game. Remember the game that he played like one or two plays in? It was like the Titans game, or not the Titans. Where was it? They were on the road. Him and Bowles both like left. He left that game early.
Yes, I think he caught a pass on the left sideline and left the game after that.
Right. So that doesn't even count. So in essence, he missed two games then.
Yeah, really.
Right? Because he missed a full game, and then he played like a series in one game. So just to throw that out there.
And let me throw a third factor out there.
Here we go.
He had the Saints game.
Yeah, the Saints game.
He was only a player to have a reception that game. It was
go ahead. Sorry.
One reception for 13 yards.
It was a screen.
Yep.
That's all it was, is a screen. Yep. I don't think there was a completion caught past the line of scrimmage.
Correct.
That was behind the line of scrimmage, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I remember it. That's how I remember it. 13 yards is the longest pass play, quote-unquote pass play.
See, that nonsense and that silliness of, you know, what they did almost cost me my Judy over, too, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we would have had a real vendetta.
Right, right. You think, you know, the lying about it, and, you know, we can laugh about it now, but if I wouldn't have hit that Judy over, it wouldn't have been all fun and games. Right?
No, it would not have been.
That's right.
Came down to week 17.
Did.
And it took the longest play in 12 years for the Broncos for him to get past the finish line, but
yep,
by God.
He did it.
There he was.
Thank goodness.
Don't screw Stokely.
So Noah, what do you think his over under receiving yards is in year number 3? Again, just quick reminder, year number 1, 562. Year 2, 673.
Okay.
Year 3, where do you think the threshold is at? And you haven't seen this number.
No, I haven't.
Despite it being directly on the front page of the rundown.
Right. No, I looked at the first segment, and that was all I looked at. And I'm writing on the back of the page here. I got the numbers. You know, I'm going to put it over 673. I got to do that. I got in the 700s. And, you know, do I go, is it 700 on the nose? I got it between like 7 and 750, right around there. You know, is it 725, 750? I'm going to go, there's another game we got to remember.
Yep.
You're getting something ready. You're getting like no, try again ready or something?
No, try again.
See, I knew it. I saw you over there scrolling on the iPad. I'm like, he's getting that ready. That must be way off.
Hey, let me ask you this. Should we reach out to Paul Schwartz of the New York Daily News to come on tomorrow? He's been covering the Giants since 1994.
That's right.
And for those who don't know the background of this.
No, try again.
We had Paul on like 2 years ago, and we bring him on the air and I introduce him, and that's what he says to me. And I'm like, what
did I get wrong?
Yeah, I said, Paul, I said, you've been covering the, oh, I just did it again. I just pulled up his Twitter bio. It's the New York Post, not the Daily News. So this is what I did.
Yes.
So I kept on trying. I'm like, you've been covering the Giants since 93? And he said,
no, try again.
And I'm like, it was it 96?
No, try again.
And he wouldn't start the interview.
Right.
He was kind of being a jerk about it.
Yeah, he was. He was being a jerk about it.
And
like, he could have easily corrected you because you've known him for a while.
Yes, he's a graduate.
Apparently y'all are friends. You thought y'all were, but apparently he doesn't think so.
He's a graduate of the University of Albany, and he's like passionate about the sports program. He writes for the New York Post forever, and he used to listen to me like on the call because I did the athletics for 6 years there.
Must have not thought fondly of you.
And he just wouldn't let it go.
No.
And so eventually he said,
Paul, what? Okay, what am I getting wrong here?
And I profusely apologize, not meaning to be slighting him at all. But so that's where that comes from.
No, try again.
Should we reach out to him and see if he'll come on the air with us tomorrow for a preview of the Giants?
Yes, forgiven you. All right. That would be great if we could. Okay, I'm going.
Noah Fant's over under total if you're just joining us. We got way sidetracked.
Yes. Oh, 725.
See, I love where your head's at. That would, if you asked me,
I was
to
725, what I asked you.
Now this is an opportunity for us, okay?
Oh,
yeah,
we got an opportunity to strike.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah,
I like opportunities.
Yeah, and I like striking.
Yes,
All right. The over under for Noah Fant in 2021 is 650.
Wow.
Wow. I can smell it.
Wow. They're just trying to give it away.
Right.
They're just trying to hand it to us.
That's right.
I mean, he's just got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. If he stays healthy, he's going over that.
This is a layup if he stays healthy.
That's the concern. You know, can he stay healthy? Right now, he's banged up a little bit, right? Going into the first game.
Yep.
Been limited. What is it, lower leg? Do we know what it is?
Yes, lower leg. That's what they
said that.
Yeah.
I said, do we know what it is, though?
No, no.
I know lower leg, but that could mean a lot.
Isn't that unusual
that
for a
hip flexor, quad, hamstring, knee, calf,
your hip flexor
Achilles.
Is like your upper leg, though. I wouldn't be ever classified as lower leg.
Do you know where your hip flexor is? That's how they do in hockey. Right? They say leg, lower leg, and it could be anything.
Is it the knee? Is it the ankle?
Could be the hip flexor.
Could be the shoulder, you know?
You don't know.
Yeah, lower leg.
Right.
You don't know where your hip flexor is.
But no, normally they gotta put more clarity on it.
Right. Yeah,
in the preseason you can get by with that, but now they're gonna have to put some clarity on that thing.
You follow me? I follow you.
650. But yeah, I'm going over. Yeah, I'm going over. Because I got to do a lot today. You know, season's starting up. Got futures and all that. I got to do a lot today. So, but that will be one of them. Over there. If he stays healthy, I think it's a layup. You got Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback.
Just give him the football.
Right. He's just got to stay healthy, though, Zach. He's got to stay healthy. That's my one concern there, his health. But he's shown that
he can miss three games and still cover this number.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
All right. Screaming over. Noah Fant. Love it. All right.
Put your hands up. Over. Raise the roof.
The Broncos defense had a remarkably bad start to the season last year, but Kareem Jackson has officially set the bar for 2021, and it's lofty. Details next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.